Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, malevolent bully.
That's Richard Dawkins, famous atheist. His assessment of the God of the Old Testament, I imagine if you really want to push it, it's going to be the God of the New Testament, too. Other famous atheists have said, this God is an unpleasant character. Who would sacrifice his own son? That's Richard Hitchens. He says it's an immoral act. And yet most people want to believe in a God who is both powerful and loving. Here's the problem. The problem is you look around yourself and you see a world where crime, corruption, deceit seem to rule the day, where war is a constant trouble, where people starve to death, where little children die, where criminals run entire countries. And we're given to believe that the average rational person would say a God of all power and all love could not possibly be running this universe. He must not exist at all. And there are atheists who will tell you that's the reason they are atheists. It's called the problem of evil. It's not a new one. We're going to respond to this objection of unbelievers with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery for the next 40 minutes of the program. You can join us 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Thursday, October the 23rd. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is a regular guest, professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate and barrister at law in England and Wales. He's a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's author of and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ, Our Advocate. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Is this problem of evil, an all-loving, all-powerful God permitting such evil, he must not exist, is this the strongest argument that atheism has on its side?
Well, I don't know that it's the strongest, but it's probably the most frequent argument. John Mortimer, the author of those wonderful Rumpole stories, was not only a barrister in England in practice, but also a journalist, and he interviewed for years famous people, and whenever he interviewed clergy, the bishops and archbishops of the Church of England, he would always get them on the topic of evil, because Mortimer is not a Christian believer, and in the transcriptions of these interviews, it really is painful to see how even the foremost clergy of the Church of England are really not able to deal with this problem. And I think that that's true of lots of pastors and laymen.
So they're just left with their mouths hanging open. And one might conclude, Dr. Montgomery, that this is where the unbeliever really has the Christian and Christianity in general pinned. There's no answer for this. Is this true?
Yes, that's the impression given. It is, however, not that difficult to deal with the problem. It's really quite remarkable that this is not taught, apparently, in theological seminaries, pastors don't provide the kind of instruction that will help their laymen to deal with an issue like this.
Okay. First of all, let's deal with the notion that seems to be in play. Are we going to permit, for the sake of the argument, that the God that's being proposed here in this classic problem of evil is the real God of Christianity? This is the kind of God we're talking about, that is revealed by Jesus Christ, all-powerful, all-loving, period.
Well, that's exactly where one has to start. You see, when the unbeliever says that a God who is all-loving and all-powerful is incompatible with evil in the world, what he is doing there is assuming the Christian God, because it's only within Christianity that you have a God who is all-powerful and all-loving at the same time. You don't find that in other world religions. So the first thing to point out to the unbeliever is that if he wants to talk about the Christian God, which he's doing, he had better get a good deal more information about the Christian God. He needs to understand the Christian God much more thoroughly than he does already. And that gives one an opportunity to take him to the Bible, because that's the source of our information about God. Now, it's true that we haven't shown him that the Bible is God's word or the inerrant scripture, that sort of thing, but that doesn't make any difference at this point. He's the one who brought up the issue, and therefore, if he wants to complain about what the Christian God is doing, he'd better find out what the Christian God is really like. And his view, as expressed in the standard Problem of Evil, is a very superficial understanding of what the Christian God is like.
Is this a problem, the problem of evil, that predates Christianity per se, but has it been used outside the realm of Christianity to attack the existence of God in general outside the Christian context?
No, it hasn't. Because, for example, the God of Islam is a God who is all-powerful and a God who predestines, etc., but he does not express himself in the Quran as a God of love who would necessarily worry about that kind of thing. And so this isn't a particularly effective argument against the God of Islam. And in the case of the Eastern religions, the center of the universe, the Tao in Taoism, the manifestations of the Buddha are so vague and have so little moral quality connected with them that the argument really isn't significant in those circles. For example, in the case of Buddhism, there were Buddhist kamikaze pilots in the Second World War. They didn't worry about this. There's no absolute standard of good or evil, and therefore the argument really doesn't apply there. No, this is an argument that you'll find in the Christian West, presented by atheists, skeptics, free thinkers, who are attempting to eliminate the Christian God.
What is missing from the God that is presupposed in this argument that needs to be understood about the true biblical presentation of God for us to have the fullest understanding?
Well, the critical missing factor is the nature of love. If the Christian God is indeed a God of love, then he will have made his creatures with free will. He will have given his creatures the ability to make free decisions. And where free decisions are involved, necessarily there are consequences. And let's take the situation that a parent has with a child. We desperately want our children to do the right thing. But if we try to force them to do the right thing, if we don't give them any possibility of choosing for themselves, the result of this, of course, is that they become little robots. They become little puppets, or they react against the whole business. We desperately want them to do the right thing, but we have to give them the possibility of choice. And that means that if they choose what is a very bad solution, there are going to be consequences that flow from that. This argument has been presented especially well by C.S. Lewis in his little book, The Problem of Pain. He points out that the God of Christianity is not a puppeteer. He doesn't force his creatures to do what he wants. He desperately wants them to do the right thing, and he even goes to the point of coming to earth and dying on the cross for them, but he doesn't force them. The evils in this world, including the natural evils, are the product of the creatures having made the worst possible kind of decisions. The Bible says this started with an angel, Lucifer, who wanted to elevate himself to the level of God, and a decision as horrible as that, of course, threw a kind of monkey wrench, a spanner, into the wheels of the universe, and you got natural evils arising from this, and then eventually you had a duplication of this on Earth with the first creatures.
We're talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, part four of our five-part daily series with him, answering the objections of unbelievers today, the problem of evil. You can join us. Our call-in number on this Thursday, the 23rd of October, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us here in the studio as well. talkback@issuesetc.org. By the way, we have some great resources that will help you defend the Christian faith posted under the on-demand page at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find those resources when we come back. Okay, we've dealt with at least trying to take the argument apart before we respond to it formally. We've dealt with the issue of who this God really is, all-powerful, all-loving. We need to understand what it means that such a powerful God is truly loving. What about the definition of evil? It seems to me that those who say, well, God should at least be able to maintain his own standard if he's all-powerful and all-loving, and these terrible things are happening in the world around us, man's inhumanity to man, and the world seems to be falling apart, creation itself at war with its inhabitants. Can't God run the shop? Is he incompetent? Is he asleep? Now, they are laying at God's doorstep the responsibility for evil. Now, Christ is certainly willing to take responsibility for evil at the cross, but does the definition at work in the problem of evil, for evil, really bear up under biblical scrutiny? We'll be right back.
My biggest fear is that this is not the devil, because there can be no devil if there is no God. And if there were a God, he would never allow such suffering.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
An ancient past, problems for the future.
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the very popular The New Answers book.
You know, we should not try to squeeze millions of years of history into the Bible. In fact, I think that a belief in millions of years actually helps discredit anything Christians say about the future. You know why? You see, if you took billions of years for the universe and life to form, but the Bible says it took 6 days, why should anyone believe what the Bible says about Christ preparing a future place for us? And wouldn't God need billions of years to work on it? That's one of the serious problems you run into when you let man's fallible beliefs about the past determine a view of the Bible. Why not accept man's faulty ideas about the future as well? In fact, according to secular views, the world's moving towards a heat death. What kind of hope do people have based on what they're told about the past? But there's a sure hope in the future. Because all of biblical history is true, starting from Genesis, it's accurate right through to what it predicts about the end. There'll be a consummation. That's when Christ will make all things right.
Well, does that mean that global warming will not be the end of the world? We present some surprising answers in an eye-opening DVD we've just co-produced. For your gift of any size, we'll send the DVD to you. Call us toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 888-89-ANSWERS and request the Global Warming DVD. That's 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. It's a fourth in the five-part daily series we're doing with him on answering the objections of unbelievers today, the problem of evil. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. This email comes from Joe in St. Louis. Dr. Montgomery has several questions. We'll just deal with them one at a time. Don't you have to correctly define all-powerful? Is God is not all-powerful, writes Joe, in the sense that he cannot do anything contrary to his nature. For example, he is truth and therefore he cannot lie. He is just and therefore he cannot act unjustly by stopping all judgment. Your thoughts there?
Well, that's perfectly true, one has to define what one means by all-powerful. It's really a matter of fairly obvious, however, that impossibility would have to do with his acting against his own nature. That's quite right. I don't think that probably is going to help the person who poses the problem of evil, because what he means is, isn't God powerful enough to eliminate all the evil? And if he is, then why hasn't he done so? And the answer to this is along the lines of what we were saying earlier, that God has given his creatures free will, which makes it possible for them to decide either to do his will or not. And if the creature decides not to do his will, then there have to be consequences following from this. Otherwise, it doesn't turn out to be a moral problem at all. It turns out to be some kind of game in which you can make any kind of decisions you want, and the consequences are going to be the same in any case. So consequences are going to follow, and those consequences are connected with the nature of the misuse of the free will. So the only real objection that could be raised is, why doesn't God terminate everything immediately so as to prevent the continuation of any consequences? But if you think about this closely, that would mean that the minute that any creature violated God's will, he would instantly snuff the situation out, or he would eliminate the world in which that occurred and create another one. And if you had an infinite series of such things, such that the only world that ever came about was the one in which the creatures only did what God wanted him to do in the first place, then that would be tantamount to eliminating free will. It would be just another way of creating a puppet-like situation in which the only possibilities would be to do the thing that God wanted in the first place. We don't know what the timeline is in this situation. That is to say, we don't know in eternal terms how long the negative consequences of our misuse of free will will have to continue before the end comes. But we have God's promise that he is going to end this thing at the time Christ returns. And when that occurs, all the tears will be wiped away, and the situation will be a new Eden. The new Eden will be restored. The reason why we ought to have confidence in him in this regard is that he has made the most amazing efforts to help our situation, even though he was not in any way obligated to do so. You know, Jesus tells that story about the parable about the landowner who puts the land in the hands of his stewards and goes away, and the stewards take over the land, and he sends prophets, he sends servants, and they kill them, and finally he says, well, I can certainly send my own son, and he sends the son, and they kill him too. And what this parable says is that the human race has not deserved all that God has done for the human race, and yet God is continuing to work in man's behalf. And in Colossians it says if it weren't for Christ, the whole universe would pass into non-existence. It's in him that the whole universe holds together. So we can have confidence in the God who has given us free will, that he is taking care of the situation in the very best way possible. He says that he would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So he's certainly not going to do anything less than the best for us.
Joe also asks the question more generally, when the skeptic or the atheist raises this problem of evil, Joe asks, at some level, aren't they really wanting simply to do whatever they want to do, morally speaking, to be unaccountable to an alleged God?
Well, that may be the case, but I don't think that that can be used to explain away the question that they raise. The question they raise is perfectly legitimate. And the one of the problems that the unbeliever has in this argument is that the unbeliever thinks that evil is a kind of substance. And so the unbeliever is saying, well, someone must have created evil. And since God creates everything, then he must be directly responsible for it. And the misunderstanding here is that evil is not a substance. Evil is a broken relationship. And the relationship between God and his creatures has been broken by the creatures themselves because they have insisted on going a way that God does not want them to go. Now, when that relationship is broken, evil appears. Evil is the broken relationship, and the creature is responsible for this, but it's not a substance that God has created. And out of this broken relationship come evils, plural, and they, of course, are substantival. I mean, you've got wars and cancer and all the miseries of a fallen world, but those are the product of that original broken relationship, and the broken relationship is due to the creature, not to the creator. And if the response to that is, well, couldn't God have prevented all of this? The answer is, what kind of God do you want? Do you want a God who is a puppeteer, or do you want a God who is love? And if you want a God who is love, that God is going to provide free will to his creatures.
Herman is listening in Illinois. Herman, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to put to Dr. Montgomery your opening example, I think, of Richard Dawkins' statement. There would seem to be implicated that he sees the worst evil in the world as believing in the God of the Bible, and if you disbelieve in the God of the Bible, it would create a perfect utopia in the world, thereby eliminating what he would regard as these evils that come from a believing in God. But the reality is disbelieving in God doesn't eliminate the condition of the world it is today, like the ex-Beatle John Lennon song, Imagine There Is No Heaven, No Religion, and someone took it to heart and shot him down the streets of New York.
Thank you very much, Herman. That's an interesting take there. Dr. Montgomery.
Yeah, I buy that entirely. And the fact of the matter is that unbelief, the kind of atheism that Dawkins represents, has been responsible for the most hideous atrocities in human history. You know, the atheists often bring up the Inquisition and the Crusades and that sort of thing. My goodness, the miseries that were produced through those events, number one, were not brought about by believing Christians. They were brought about by fellow travelers. But in the 20th century, the slaughters, the human rights violations that were created by the pagan regimes of the modern world have gone beyond anything in prior history. More people have been killed, maimed, and their lives ruined in the 20th century through the Hitlers, the Stalins, the Pol Pots, the Amin Dadas, the Mugabes, than in all of the centuries preceding, added together. The fact of the matter is that that atheism is in no position to criticize religious believers for adding to the evils of the world. There's that marvelous book by Al Schmidt, who is on Issues Etc. from time to time, Under the Influence, in which he points out that the greatest social benefits in the history of Western civilization have come about directly because of Christianity. The orphans' homes, the universities, the abolition of slavery, and so on.
We're talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ, Our Advocate, part four of our five-part daily series with him, answering the objections of unbelievers today, the problem of evil. You can check out our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click the on-demand section, and you'll find out more about Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's book, Christ, Our Advocate, issuesetc.org. When we come back, it was Rabbi Kushner who wrote that book so many years ago, famously titled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Is that the real question? I mean, many people consider that's kind of the way it is. Most of us are good people, and then you got the list of names that Dr. Montgomery had mentioned just a moment ago, the Hitlers and the Pol Pots and the Stalins, and they're the bad people. And of course, they do bad things, but most of us are more or less neutral or innocent in this world, and we don't deserve the evil that comes upon us. That seems to be part of the definition in the problem of evil. We'll see what Dr. Montgomery has to say about that on the other side of this break. What if God did do what the atheist proposes and simply wipe out all evil in one fell swoop? Could anyone survive? Stay tuned.
God is a concept.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a donation today. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also contribute online, issuesetc.org, a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you give to American Idol?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In April, the popular Fox television show American Idol held its annual charity fundraising program called Idol Gives Back, which raised more than $70 million for six various charities. Unfortunately, one of these charities, Save the Children, partners with organizations such as Planned Parenthood, Population Action International, and the Center for Reproductive Rights to promote abortion around the world. This fact was not publicized, and many well-meaning contributors may have unwittingly given to a cause that promotes death. Pro-lifers should denounce any such ruse and be discerning when giving to charitable causes.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes in our conversation with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're answering the problem of evil. Our in-studio email address on this Thursday, October the 23rd, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Dr. Montgomery, if evil is, in fact, the result of our sin, and it's our responsibility, not God's, if God didn't do something about evil, would he, in fact, be a just God?
if he is the sovereign of the universe and he gave legitimate choice to creatures, and the creatures went against everything that he represented, then he would certainly not have had a responsibility for cleaning up the mess. This is made quite clear in Romans. Paul says, for a good man, one might dare to die, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, in the Tale of Two Cities, the Sidney Carton scenario, at the end of the Tale of Two Cities, Sidney Carton gives his life for his namesake, the person who looks like him, because that person is better than himself. That we can understand. But the amazing thing is that even though God was not obligated on any level to deal with the mess that we had created, he nevertheless, while we were yet sinners, came down to earth and lived the kind of messy life that we have and died for us in order to free us from sin. And if that kind of effort is made by God, this demonstrates his love beyond anything else, and it certainly vindicates him from any kind of complaints that the creature is making. I've sometimes used the analogy of the New York garbage strike of a number of years ago. Suppose only one garbage truck is operating, and the populace from their high-rises have their windows open, and they're screaming at the one garbage truck, why aren't you picking up the garbage faster? I mean, this would be utterly absurd. They're the ones producing the garbage. They're not doing anything to clean it up, and they're complaining because the garbage truck isn't moving faster. This is exactly the scenario of creatures who are self-centered every day of their lives, and as a result of this self-centeredness have alienated themselves from God and from their fellow creatures, and they are complaining because God isn't apparently doing enough for them.
Doesn't Luther at some point have an insight where he talks about if we only knew what God was preventing in the world and in our lives every day by way of his providential care and protection, we would never complain about...
Well, this is absolutely right. And this is the point of the Colossians passage, that in Christ, the whole universe holds together. I mean, if God had removed his hand for a moment from the universe, all would have passed into nothingness. It's only because of his grace that we're able to function at all.
How do you respond? I mentioned before the break Rabbi Kushner's famous book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? It's kind of an argument in the title itself. I can't recall how he responds to it, but how do you evaluate that way of looking at evil in the world?
Well, there are two things that can be said to this. The first thing is, of course, that nobody is inherently good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says Scripture. You know that little adage from the McGuffey Reader, in Adam's fall, we fell all. And this is because Adam was a perfect representative of the entire human race. His very name, Adam, is Hebrew for mankind. You know, it's like anthropos in Greek or homo in Latin. These are not names of particular people. These are generalized names for the entire human race. And therefore, we have nothing to complain. We cannot say, well, if I'd been there, I would have done something else. Not at all. And that sin passed, therefore, both genetically and environmentally to every member of the human race. So nobody is in a position to complain about the consequences of this kind of thing. That's one thing that one can say to this. The other thing is that, of course, we do see empirical differences among the lives of people. You know, there's the sweet elementary school teacher who is run down by a motorcyclist, and at the same time, the godfather dies with his family around him, having eaten filet mignon and drunk champagne, etc. And we see those empirical differences, but this is the second point, that sin is not rational by its very nature, and it therefore doesn't attach itself in a rational manner to these empirical differences. It's like a terrorist bomb. When the terrorist throws the bomb to get rid of a political leader, for example, and the bomb goes off, the shrapnel hits everything in that immediate area, and people are hit by it who are not directly and rationally in line for this according to what the terrorist was intending. It's really silly for us to think that in the kind of sinful world that we, the creatures, have managed to create, that everything should work out neatly so that the maxim of empirical evil would fall on the people who are maximally nasty and the converse. That's not to be expected. The minute you get sin, you get irrationality, and that kind of thing, you know, goes with the territory.
There is an irony, I suspect, in if we look at the event of the cross, a sinless man, God himself, suffering for the sins of the entire world and taking upon himself all of the consequences, eternal and temporal, of that evil from the very beginning to the very end. And people look at this event and say, how could God permit this to happen?
Yeah, and yet the event is exactly the point, isn't it? That no one looking at what happens there would say that Jesus had done a single wrong thing to warrant this kind of treatment. And so his death on the cross is the archetypal example of the nature of a sinful world, that when a person who is sinless comes into the situation, that person is given the most awful, agonizing, miserable kind of death that we could think of. And the fact that God would do this for us it has got to be the final answer to this issue of evil. A God who would do that for us has our best interests in mind. And no matter how irrational the situation may be in our broken world, and in our family, let's say, or in our own experience, nevertheless, God is on our side. And you've got that wonderful verse at Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God. We're not removed from the evil, but God promises that he will bring the best out of this situation for those who love him. That's not a promise for the unbeliever at all. Shakespeare was right that for the unbeliever, history is a tale told by an idiot signifying nothing. But for the believer, all things do work together for good, no matter how it appears.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ Our Advocate. He's also the director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held each summer in Strasbourg, France. Check out our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. You'll find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Dr. Montgomery, look forward to tomorrow's conversation, and thank you for being our guest.
You're most welcome.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Dr. Montgomery back one more time to respond to the argument that the Bible is unreliable. It contains internal contradictions, and it's been copied over and over and over again, and it's a little bit like that telephone game. What we have today is probably nothing close to the original, so it's unreliable. We'll respond to that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we'll visit with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell. Do we want a God who is fair by our standards, who would treat us as we really do deserve, who would give us what we really deserve? Think about what would happen. Because each and every one of us, inherited from Adam and in our own lives, have made ourselves God's enemies and have brought upon ourselves and our neighbors unthinkable, unspeakable evil. Yes, the world is a train wreck, completely off the rails. The answer is not a universe on rails, where everyone dances upon the end of God's string like a puppeteer. No, God's answer is far better. not to give us what we deserve, and not to put the universe on rails, but to restore what evil has taken, to restore the deficit that is evil in this world, our sin, by sending into this world his sinless Son to live perfectly before him for our sake as our substitute, to die before him as the payment for our sins, and to rise again. That's God's good answer to the problem of evil. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.